Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
Well, we're on the path to doing that, brothers and sisters. We're making America great again. I'm pro-life leader Frank Pavone. Thank you for joining me on this program. We're going to talk in a way tonight that is going to help you talk to your fellow voters. That's what really this is all about between now and when the voting starts in September in many places, in October, and then, of course, up to November 5th. We need to be able to talk to our fellow citizens in ways that make sense, in ways that summarize the essence of what's going on. And in regard to tonight, for example, we'll take this crazy twisting of the law that's going on in President Trump's various indictments. And the Supreme Court is considering one of the aspects of this that I want to talk to you about. And then the other thing is, what do you think about your money being used, okay, for people whose first act in this country was an illegal one? That is, when they first entered, they have no respect for the law. And your money going to them for housing, food stamps, or whatever, welfare benefits from you, for people who aren't supposed to be here in the country in the first place. If you like that, Biden is your guy. Democrats are all in for that. We're going to talk a little bit about that too. In fact, I'm going to show you a clip of President Trump from one of the Agenda 47 videos where he talks about what he's going to do about all that. Various other things. What does President Trump want us to do as his court case proceeds in New York? He gave a particular specific request that I want to echo, and then also a couple of big upcoming conservative events that I want to tell you about. So that and more, let's turn to the Word of God. Let's pray for America and for one another. By the way, you can always leave your prayer comments in the comments, prayer requests and needs, and so we all pray for each other very specifically. Let's do that too. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 21 to begin. Beginning of the chapter, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were gathered. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of 153 large fish. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he had been raised from the dead. Let us pray. Lord, you are the risen Savior, and you walk among us still. You reveal yourself to us. You inspire us and raise us up. You meet our needs, whether spiritual or temporal, and you save our nation. Lord, it is you in the risen life that you give us who enable us to save America, to make America great, to pray for America. It is you, Lord God, whom we follow. It is you whom we are so aware that are living within us, speaking through us, giving us the authority to declare your law, your word, your comfort, your forgiveness, your truth. These things, Lord, are essential for the rebuilding and saving of America. Enable us always to bear witness to the truth, to freedom, to the sanctity of life. Enable us, Lord God, to help our people understand these things. As you appeared to those disciples to reaffirm their faith that you indeed have conquered death and conquered evil, that you are the hope and salvation of all humanity. So reaffirm that faith and that conviction in us today. Enable us to teach it to our children and to impart it to our fellow citizens, that as we vote in this election, we may do so with wisdom and in a way that leads our country back to you. You who are Lord forever and ever. Amen. What did President Trump tell us to do as these phony, disgusting, absolutely baseless, totally ridiculous things continue to unfold in New York with this trial? What did he tell us to do? He invited us to peacefully protest in front of courthouses all over the country. If you can organize a peaceful demonstration in a courthouse near you and make it something that is a sign of your opposition to this using of our courts for election interference, that's why we would go there. It's not necessarily that we have something against the particular courthouse that we're gathering in front of. It's that we're making a statement about what that courthouse is meant to be. It's meant to be a place where justice is done, and the Lady Justice is blindfolded for a reason. It's actually a biblical reason. When you judge, you do not see faces. You're not supposed to see faces. You're not supposed to know names. In other words, how a trial would be conducted, whether it would be conducted in the first place, and how one would weigh and balance the actions taken or not taken, is supposed to be done in exactly the same way if it weren't Donald Trump versus if it were. And of course, now many of us are laughing because that is so far from the truth of the situation. All this is happening precisely not only because it's Donald J. Trump, but because he's running for president. And because he's running for president at a particular election that would stop in its tracks the Democrat, globalist, Marxist agenda. That's why all this is happening. This is the election battle, in other words, is all it is. Well, we would stand. Why did he say go out and protest peacefully in front of courtrooms? Because we love America. Now, don't take the bait from folks on the other side who are going to want you to react in an angry or, God forbid, violent way. I don't even have to tell you that. We're not violent people. They are. But don't take any bait that would try to, you know, that by which they would try to get you to react in a way that is going to make us look like the crazy ones. No, we're the peaceful, prayerful people. We're the people that love law and order. We're the people of the Constitution. But we're going to come out and pray and bear witness to what the real meaning is of our court system, the real meaning of elections, the meaning ultimately of freedom. So yes, I endorse what President Trump said. Come out and let's do this. Let's show up. Let's show our support. Okay, secondly, so in one of the articles about all this, I guess I always have to, I always it just shake my head at this. You know, you see in these various, you know, AP and different news source stories, when they'll talk about President Trump's words in regard to the 2020 election and his claim that it was rigged and stolen, as many, many millions of Americans believe it was, tens of millions, they always insert a little word that doesn't belong there. One of the news reports, I don't forget even which one it was, it said this: Trump in a Truth Social post late Sunday reiterated his, doesn't just say reiterated his claim, all right, which would be an objective way of saying it, but reiterated his false claim that the 2020 election was rigged and stolen. What is this? This is a news report. Well, then why are you turning it into an opinion piece? Why are you injecting the word false when you have absolutely no way to prove that it was false? You're just expressing your own twisted, erroneous opinion? So let me ask this of those that think that, and it wouldn't be you, I'm talking through you to the folks who are truly ignorant of what's going on, those who would say that these are false claims. So tell me this. When Democrat secretaries of state, hello, Michigan, hello, Pennsylvania, when Democrat secretaries of state tell election officials and workers, and we just reported on this the other day, we're just talking about the court cases that are being not only waged, but won on these points. When Democrat secretaries of state say to the election officials and the election workers in an election, that they should presume rather than verify that the signatures match, that is the signature that's on file on the voter rolls and the signature that's on the envelope of the mail-in ballot. When they're told, even though state law says that they should verify the signatures, the Democrat leaders say, you can just presume that they match. That's not a problem for you? I mean, talking to those who think that it is a false statement to say that this election was somehow rigged and stolen, that's okay with you, right? Or you're going to try to say that didn't happen? Or are you going to try to say something else didn't happen? What about like in Pennsylvania? Again, when election workers are told by Democrats that, hey, listen, don't worry about the legal deadline for when ballots are supposed to be accepted. Just, you know, keep counting them after they come in, even if they're past the legal deadline. Folks, if it's past the legal deadline, it's illegal. I know I'm talking to some Democrat wackos out there. Left-wing, radical, anti-Trump, Democrat wackos. I know you don't understand this, so let me make it clear again. If you accept a ballot after the legal limit when it's supposed to be accepted, it's illegal. Let me break it down some more for people just who are just really twisted in their mind. If you drive without a driver's license, that's illegal. If you don't have a driver's license, you get in the car and you drive. Or even if you leave your driver's license at home and you're driving without a license, you're supposed to have it always with you. And these people on the left, they're so idiotic. They'll say, oh, no, but everybody has the right to drive. We have the right to drive. We got to promote the right to drive. Why wouldn't we want people driving? Because they have to drive legally. That's why. Okay? They have to drive legally. But these people don't care. They don't care about the difference between legal votes and illegal votes. Just like they don't care about the difference between legal immigrants and illegal immigrants. They don't care about the difference between legal and illegal because they don't care about the law. They don't care about the law because they don't care about the truth. And they don't care about the truth or the law because they don't care about God. I've had enough of these people, and I'm sure you have too. Enough. They're trying to destroy this country. They're wacko, and they don't care. And so their friends in the media, they'll keep injecting these words. Oh yeah, it's the false claim that the 2020 election was rigged and stolen. That means a lot of things. So you don't see a problem with Democrat election public officials, whether it's Secretary of State or supervisors of elections or whoever it might be. A lot of different people carried out this nonsense. Just telling them to violate state law. Just violate state law. Just keep counting those ballots. All of a sudden, the laws don't matter, even though the Constitution says the state legislatures set the law for how elections are conducted in that state. But they don't care about the Constitution. They don't read it. They hate it. They burn it. They tear it up. They don't care. They care more about the Constitution of some other foreign country rather more than they do about the United States. All right, let's go on to something else here. Then we're going to hear from President Trump himself. Well, first of all, let me tell you about two upcoming events. In June, mark your calendar, save the date. Our friend Charlie Kirk at Turning Point USA, you know, they also have Turning Point Action. And they've got this big conference coming up, really with the top political people, conservative from around the country. The People's Convention, it's called, be in Detroit, Michigan. And that's going to be June 14th to 16th. The People's Convention, June 14th to 16th, Detroit, Michigan. Just look up Turning Point Action online. You'll see all the details. And then the following week, our friend Ralph Reed with the Faith and Freedom Coalition is having his big annual conference. Really, again, one of the premier political events of the year. Could talk about gathering together conservative political voices and personalities. June 20th to 22nd in Washington, D.C., Road to Majority. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to have a road to majority, majority in Congress, majority in the House, majority in the Senate. We got to get the White House, majority in the states, all of it. Road to Majority, June 20th to 22nd, 2024. I'll be speaking at that one and gathering there. By the way, in case it applies, I've mentioned this before, any Catholic clergy out there that are watching, or deacons or brothers or religious sisters, you're welcome to contact me, because there is a special component of Ralph Reed's conference that has to do with Catholic outreach that I'll be coordinating. But I'll be there, of course, with and for all of you, no matter what your denominational background is. Okay, so those are two events in June. Okay, let's look at something else here. The Supreme Court is hearing a case called Fisher versus U.S. I want you to keep an eye on this. Fisher versus U.S. And again, this has some talking points, again, that you can help to point out to fellow voters about the nonsense that's going on here, the lawfare, as we call it, against President Trump. So Joseph Fisher was one of the people unjustly charged in the January 6th event at the Capitol. Charged together with Garrett Miller and Edward Lange in this particular charge here that we're talking about, with corruptly obstructing, influencing, or impeding an official proceeding. Now, the thing that makes this a Supreme Court case is very simply the following, and this is a pattern that you see in all of these absolutely unconstitutional, I would use the word irrational, charges being brought against President Trump. But these are charges, this is a charge also that's been brought against President Trump, corruptly obstructing and impeding an official proceeding. He, of course, did no such thing. The official proceeding we're talking about is the certification of the votes of the Electoral College in the 2020 election there in January 6th of 2021. The president, of course, has pled not guilty to that offense. And the reason he did that is very simple. It's because he's not guilty. And Joseph Fisher here has this court, this case now at the Supreme Court. Why? Because the law that they're twisting, they twist these laws like pretzels, is part of a law that had to deal with the Enron scandal. 2002, going back 22 years, the Enron scandal. Actually, the law was passed in 2002. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act. It doesn't apply to people going in to the Capitol as part of a vastly peaceful demonstration. Yeah, some people did things they shouldn't have done. Nobody was armed, by the way. And some people got out of control. But this had to do with, in fact, let me read to you the provision. It applies only if a defendant took, quote, some action with respect to a document, record, or other object in order to corruptly obstruct, impede, or influence an official proceeding. See, the Democrats, and this is a pattern across the board, they don't care about what the law actually says. They don't care about why the law was written. They don't care if it's never been applied this way before. They're so desperate. They're so anti-Trump. They're so afraid of him winning this election that they just, oh, well, let's just take the first part of it and throw that away. Respect action with respect to a document or a record or an object. Never mind that. Let's just take the part that says they corruptly obstructed, impeded, or influenced an official proceeding. So initially, so you look at these people who were charged, okay, and the prosecutors did not allege that there was some action in respect to a document or a record or an object. So the court where this was first held in the district court, dismissed the count against Fisher. Dismissed the count. But then when it was appealed to the Court of Appeals in the D.C. Circuit, they reversed the decision of the lower court and said that the law applies to all forms of corrupt obstruction of an official proceeding. Oh, very good, guys. So I guess we just have to rely on, let's see, two people, because it was a divided three-judge panel. You know, when you hear these things went to the appeals court, you know, D.C., you're not talking about a whole bunch of people. You're talking about three-judge panel, and two of the three say, oh, yeah, we could use this law from the Enron scandal, talking about documents, to apply to somebody who goes into the Capitol peacefully for a few minutes on January 6th. What? Yeah, this is how demented these people are. It's demented. So now, that's why the Supreme Court is hearing it. Because you got a charge against a former president of the United States and a whole bunch of citizens where you're saying on the one hand that this law doesn't apply, and then the appeals court is saying, yes, it does apply. In the arguments, the Supreme Court said, Chief Justice Roberts, for example, asked the Biden Justice Department why it was ignoring an opinion in 2019 that said that the obstruction clause of this financial records law should be applied narrowly. In other words, you can't do what I just described that they did. Just take part of the law and apply it to circumstances that it wasn't written for. Justice Department, remember, you're working for the Democrats, so, you know, this goes without saying, but they didn't have any good answer. Listen, they don't have any good answer for anything. Clarence Thomas noted that there have been many violent protests that disrupted official proceedings. How about the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings? The outburst that took place. As soon as that hearing began, I remember watching it live. As soon as it began, the first person to speak didn't get through their first sentence without somebody yelling, shouting, screaming. They're all pro-abortion radicals. They saw the threat, the imminent threat, which ended up coming true, of Roe v. Wade being overturned. God forbid we should stop baby killing in America. And Thomas asked whether the government had ever applied this law in a similar way before. Well, I already told you, and he told them. No, he was told, no. It was never applied this way before, to apply to a situation where a proceeding was obstructed in some way, but had nothing to do with documents or records or objects. And then finally, Neil Gorsuch zeroed in on an obvious problem here, contradiction. He said, well, could you get someone 20 years in prison if he pulled a fire alarm in the Capitol building while official proceedings were going on in an attempt to disrupt them? Whoa, Democrat congressman from New York did exactly that. Jamal Bowman. Maybe they ought to get Jamal in here and have him testify here. Have him submit a brief. Did you submit your brief there, Bowman? Did you submit your brief? I'd like to read the brief. Argue in favor of the Department of Justice as to how that pulling of the fire alarm is somehow different from people just peacefully walking into the Capitol and not touching anything. Are these people, friends, you know, you get the point. Talk to your fellow voters about this. How they take these laws that have absolutely nothing to do with what happened on January 6th, and they twist them worse than a pretzel. In fact, the way they twist them, you wouldn't want to eat the pretzel. It would look so disgusting. And then they try to make it work against these people. All right. Finally, I want you to hear from President Trump. Look, we have a problem. Our money is being used to help people who've come into this country, and their first act on American soil, think of it this way, their first act on American soil was to break our law, break one of our laws. That's their opening salvo. You really want people in the country, that's the way they enter the country, by breaking our laws? Listen to President Trump, what he's going to do, he outlines the problem, and then he talks about what he's going to do in a second term about the problem. And this is about welfare to illegals. And he takes a strong stance here. And you see in what he's saying, he's even going to go even further in the second term. You got to watch these videos. Again, DonaldJTrump.com, Agenda 47. In other words, the agenda of the 47th president of the United States, whom we intend to have that be Donald J. Trump. Agenda 47. That's, you see, look, let me just make one point before we listen to the former president. These are the kind of things we need to be talking about. Not Stormy Daniels and how you recorded a business expense and at the most a misdemeanor in New York. 6 to 8 weeks, the news is going to be dominated with this New York trial. And we don't have any better things to talk about, right? Never mind that people are coming into our country and then they're being handed on a silver platter by the deluded Biden administration our taxpayer dollars to eat and to be get lodging. Listen to what President Trump has to say about this nonsense about how we're dishing out this money to illegal aliens. Let's listen.
Crooked Joe Biden is running a nonstop conveyor belt importing illegal aliens from all over the world into our country, and the Biden Department of Homeland Security is abusing its so-called parole authority to give them more governmental benefits than many law-abiding citizens, including our vets. Our vets are being taken advantage of. Our citizens are being taken advantage of. It's very unfair, and it's not going to stand. Under this horrendous abuse of power, millions of illegals will be eligible for billions and billions of dollars in welfare benefits, courtesy of you, the American taxpayer. So not only is Crooked Joe surrendering your borders and your sovereignty, he is stealing your hard-earned money to redistribute it to people who have no business being in our country. They should be in their country. This is not sustainable by anybody, certainly not sustainable by us. The United States is trillions of dollars in debt. yet the radical left Democrats are illegally dispensing public benefits to illegals while they try to massively raise your taxes. The radical left communists hate you, and they hate our middle class. Under Biden's scheme, the benefits that will go to illegal aliens include food stamps, free health care, welfare checks, and a host of other programs, the likes of which you would not even believe. In addition, Biden is also giving illegal aliens work permits to take jobs away from American citizens. And then if they have children, not only do the children get automatic citizenship, but they unlock a trove of additional government benefits flowing to illegal immigrant households. In the meantime, our vets suffer and our citizens suffer. On day one of my new administration, we will shut down this travesty and defend the wealth of hardworking middle-class families. I will stop the outrageous abuse of parole authority. I will reinstate my action making illegals ineligible for public housing. We will terminate all work permits for illegal aliens, and I will demand that Congress send me a bill blocking any future president from abusing his power to distribute welfare benefits in this manner. It's all being paid for by the American taxpayer. Like automatic citizenship for children of illegal aliens, welfare is a gigantic magnet drawing people from all over the world. They want to come to the United States. They want to feast off the sweat and savings of the American taxpayer. It's not fair. It's not just. We're not going to let it happen. I will end it all immediately. Thank you.
We have to enable him to end it all immediately. He's ready and willing to do it. He knows how to do it. We need to get him into that Oval Office. We need to give him a Congress who's behind him as well. House and a Senate with strong Republican majorities. We need to do it, friends. We can all do it together. You know, let me emphasize that last point he made. It's a magnet drawing people. It's one thing to say we're eager to welcome people coming legally, but you know, when you have the dollars just on a platter ready to hand them, hey, whether you break the law or not when you come in, here we go, we got the money ready for you. That doesn't just attract people to come in and invade this country. Oh, I don't have to follow the laws. They're going to give me the benefits anyway. It's totally absurd. Totally absurd. The only reason a party or an administration would allow this to continue to happen is that they hate America. The Democrat Party hates America. So, brothers and sisters, again, these are the things we should be talking about. Not Stormy Daniels from decades ago and hush money. By the way, it's completely legal what was, you know, to pay such money. And oh my goodness, what a distraction it is meant to be. And this is why the Democrats are doing this. They're doing it for multiple reasons, but one of them is they don't want us talking about these things, because you start talking about issues like this and you see how absolutely destructive the Democrats are for America. Well, that's all we have for tonight. Let's go back into prayer. And Father, we thank you for all that we have talked about. Let's be thinking about what we should be talking about, what we need to be talking about when it comes to the policies that the next president will enact, whether they'll keep destroying America or whether they will, in fact, begin saving America. And Lord, we sum up all our prayers and praises and all our needs and intentions and requests in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks, friends, for joining me on Praying for America. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priest for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.